And bring your Bible if that's what you'd like. So we are looking at Hebrews chapter 13, and read the whole chapter. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people are showing hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are ill-treated as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honoured by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexual immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It's good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which is of no benefit to those who do so. We have an altar from which those who minister the tabernacle have no right to eat. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering. Excuse me. But the bodies are burnt outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this, so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honourably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that it may be restored to you soon. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I urge you to bear with my word of exhortation, for in fact I've written to you quite briefly. I want you to know that our brother Timothy has been released. If he arrives soon, I'll come with him to see you. Greet all your leaders and all the Lord's people. Those from Italy send you their greetings. Grace be with you all. And so we've got Courtney Bell, one of our members, are going to come and preach God's word to us.
Evening, everyone. Before I start, let me pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege of your word being able to be opened. Father, as we learn from it now, may we be changed. Father, we ask for the Holy Spirit to give us understanding. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Rose-tinted glasses. Rose-tinted glasses. It's that idea of looking back on something or anything and making it out like it's better than it actually was. And I think there's a tendency to look back and think things were better than they actually were. There's that classic phrase that older people, and the older I get, this, I've used it myself, of this isn't working well, it was in my day. But it's that idea of things that what happened previously are better than the things that we have right now. I grew up on a cul-de-sac. There was 8 boys, 2 years apart, 5 days away from each other. So there was a lot of noise. Neighbours weren't too pleased at points. They meant summer holidays were meant with loads of playing out the front. And we'd play games, we'd do stuff, we'd make our own ramps from pieces of timber that we found, which probably isn't safe, so kids don't follow it. Don't do this at home. But when I talk about those things, when I speak to them about, I'll tell stories to Amy about growing up. I probably over-egg how good it actually was, a little bit anyway. There's that idea of looking back with rose-tinted glasses, that something that was pretty mundane becomes amazing. I think there's also a tendency to sometimes, the things that were bad, as you look back on them, the further you are away from them, they could seem better. You know, as Christians, there's a tendency to do the same thing. To look back at our lives before Christians and think, before we were Christians and think, might have been better back then. But the writer of Hebrews warns us to say, no, it's not the case. You see, you have everything here, and then you have Jesus who's greater than all. That's what he wants us to know. So as we go through the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, not the whole book tonight, you'll be pleased to know. As we go through chapter 13, we've got three things that will help us as we keep going in our faith, as we look forward instead of looking back. The first thing to do is to keep loving. Keep loving. Verse 1 says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. See, God's people, the church, needs to have an unexplained love, an amazing love for each other. He uses the picture of siblings here, and I know from being a sibling, having a twin brother and a younger brother, that the love between siblings can be difficult at times. There's pointless arguing, bickering, fighting sometimes. But when it really comes down to it, when it matters the most, you have your siblings back. You're there when they actually need you the most. And that's the love that the church needs to have for each other. That's the love that we need to have. That I've got your back sort of love. And when I say the church, I don't mean this building, the walls. I'm talking about God's people. See, anyone here is different. If you look around, I know it's probably awkward, so you don't actually have to do it. But everyone looks different. We come from different cultures, different countries, different classes. We like different things. But regardless of that, regardless of our differences, there needs to be love. Those differences shouldn't be the reason why there is discontentment, why the people don't get on. Because though there are differences between us, Christians are united in Christ. And that's a truth that you need to remember. We shouldn't let those issues, we shouldn't let those differences become issues. Do you know what love is? Because God first loved us. And that's the love that we should have. Sacrificial love for each other. So we need to keep loving. We also need to part of that loving is showing hospitality. And in showing hospitality, there is a sacrifice. There's often a financial one because food is not free, especially in today's society. £1 doesn't even get you a cheeseburger anymore. It's very upsetting. But there's a cost to show. There's a cost to showing hospitality. It will cost you your time. And I know to everyone, a lot of people, time is precious. The things you do take. You like your own time. But to show hospitality means you have to kind of eat into yours to be able to show hospitality. But giving up your time is a special thing. And for the people you're showing hospitality to, you're probably doing more for them than you actually realize. I'll tell a story. When I first came to Enfield, I was kind of unattached. My brother came, but he moved on. So I was kind of here, didn't have any family here. And one Saturday, I got invited to a Simeonza gathering. The Simeonza are a big family here. They used to all be here, but they've been scattered off the partnership. But like, it was amazing to spend time with them, for them to open up their home to me. And I probably didn't realize how honor that actually was and how much of an impact it actually made on me. And showing hospitality does that. And there's no asterisk. There shouldn't be a restriction to who you show hospitality to. Yeah, this is easier to show hospitality to people who we like or who are similar to. There shouldn't be any of that. Let me read verse 2 to you. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality angels without knowing it. It's easy to show hospitality to, like I said, to people we like, or to people who can repay the favor. But it's harder to show hospitality to those who you potentially don't get along with as much. But we should show hospitality to everyone equally, because like the passage says, there's a possibility of even entertaining angels. So, brothers and sisters, we need to be showing hospitality. We also need to be remembering our brothers and sisters in the persecuted church. Verse 3 says, continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, as those who are mistreated, as if you yourself were suffering. There's brothers and sisters across the world who following Jesus could lead to them losing their lives. It leads to their family disowning them, potentially loss of employment, homelessness. There's so many things that the brothers and sisters that we have around the world are going through. But we need to be praying for them. The language of the passage almost talks a lot as if we're walking alongside them, as if we're walking arm in arm. We need to remember those, pray for them to stand firm. And if I'm being honest, I was struck personally about how little I actually pray for the persecuted church. I think I kind of live in my own little bubble and forget that there are Christians who don't have the privilege of coming on a Sunday and hearing God's word being opened, going to a Bible study or prayer meeting on a Tuesday. You need to remember those brothers and sisters. You need to be praying for those brothers and sisters. All of that is how we keep on loving. But it's not just about showing love in this. We also need to hate what God hates. Verse 4 says, marriage should be honored and barred, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and the sexual immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. The truth is, sex and money are very, very important in today's society. They're everywhere. But the church needs to be different. There should be a difference with how we view those things. See, sex is a gift from God to be enjoyed between a husband and a wife. Everything else the Bible says is sin. And when it talks about sexual immorality, it's not just talking about the physical acts. It's talking about the websites you might look on, the thoughts that you have, or even that second glance. And then there's money. I think money's a weird one because, let's be honest, we always want more things. I think there is definitely a lack of contentment with the things that we have. But God gives us all we need. And we need to remember that. The sex and money are two things that the devil uses to draw you away. could be a relationship. It could be just keeping some more money for yourself than you actually need, or gaining money illegally. It could be anything. But the devil uses those. And if you're here tonight and you're struggling with those sins, deal with them quickly. And I think sin can sometimes be like dishes, and that's not to underplay sin, but the quicker you deal with them, the easier they are to sort out. When you've cooked with a pot, the quicker you clean it, the easier it is to clean. The longer you leave it, the scrubbing is longer, the process takes longer. We need to be praying if that this is an issue. We need to be praying that we wouldn't have our eyes fixed on those things, but fixed above. The first thing we need to do is keep loving. The second thing we need to do is follow our leaders. We need to follow our leaders. Keep following our leaders. I'm very tempted to sing the song, but I won't, because I know someone who sings and got told off. So the this start and end of this chapter, the bookends, are commands about leaders. Verse 7, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. And verse 17 starts with, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority. What's that telling us? That leadership matters. And our response to leadership matters. Let's look at leadership. I know in our country there's been a lot to say about leadership recently. And I don't want to go down some long political rabbit hole, but there's definitely been seen that bad leadership leads to discontentment. We don't want leaders who say one thing but do another. What you want is a leader who's honest and true. And as Christians, we have that leader. See, Jesus is the best example of leadership. He's the gold standard. He's that great shepherd of the sheep, as it says in this passage. Because he took leading his flock so seriously that he died for them. Verse 12 says, and so Jesus also suffered outside of the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. That is the leader we have. He's not just a leader, he's the savior. There's a term used in sport occasionally. It's called carrying the team on your back. Often, if there's a team doing badly and it looks like everything's over, they've lost, that's it. But there's that one player. There's that one player who takes the initiative themselves, who kind of drags the team along with them, carries the team on their back. See, Jesus does that and way, way more. See, we were all hopeless sinners. And you see that what sin deserves, it says it in the earlier verses, the sin deserves judgment. Because there's not one person in here who you can say that they're perfect. Everyone has sinned, and God requires perfection, therefore everyone deserves judgment. You deserve that rightful anger from God, not because you've not lived how he's called you to live. But the amazing thing is Jesus steps in. Not because anyone deserves it, but no, that's God's grace. Jesus died on a cross. And on that cross, he didn't just suffer physical pain, which there would have been loads of, because crucifixion is a horrible way to die. It wasn't just that physical pain that he went through. But while he was hanging there, that rightful anger of God, that judgment poured on him. That if you put your trust in him, you can be saved. You can be saved. He took our sin that seriously that he carried it on his back. The punishment that we deserve, he took that. That's leadership. And Jennifer mentioned it earlier. Jesus is the perfect leader partly because he's unchanging. It says Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. You want consistency in leadership. You want someone who's consistent, who doesn't change depending on their mood or the weather. Or I don't get how people change according to the weather. I've never understood that, but people do. But you want someone who is consistent. Jesus is the perfect leader. And he is the leader that our leaders should be pointing us to. See, there's a tendency to look on the outside when you look at characteristics of leadership, sorry. Sometimes it could be the way they dress. So if they've got a nice blue shirt on or like super dry polo top or something like that, that person makes a great leader. And those things do help. But it doesn't really matter what they wear. It's about what's on the inside. It's about, do they have a heart for God? Do they have a heart for their people? See, a good leader, it doesn't matter about the external, it's the internal. And a good leader isn't pointing you to themselves, but pointing you to Jesus. That's what makes a good leader. Someone who points you, who points God's flock to Jesus. And praise God that here at Enfield, we have leaders who value that. We value Jesus first. And we need to be praying for them because it's easy to get complacent in that. As things happen, sometimes it's easy to take your eye off the main thing. But we need to pray that our leaders would be focused on Jesus, that they have their eyes fixed on him. And as they do that, they can help us follow him better. See, our leaders should be imitating Jesus, so that we can then imitate them. Also, there's this bit in the middle where it talks about nothing lasting, about an enduring city. Let me read verse 14. For here, we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for a city that is to come. Basically, it's telling us that this life that we live, the things that we have, all fade. They're short term. We should be focusing on the future, on that enduring city. Now, I am in my late 20s now, so I'm aging slightly, and I've started to notice that the corners of my hair are slowly creeping backwards. I'm not going to lie, it's scaring me a tad bit. But as that happens, it's just another sign that things fade. Things in this world fade. But we should be focusing on that enduring city. That's that paradise to come. Also, I have to say that following Jesus comes with a cost. It comes with a cost. Verse 12 says, and so Jesus suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Jesus suffered. So because he suffered, we will also suffer. We kind of have to go out to the city gate to suffer with him, so to speak. We need to be prepared for suffering. I think it's sometimes shied away from. I think if I kind of keep myself quiet, then I'm not going to put myself in a firing line. But if you are a follower of Jesus, suffering is definitely going to happen. It's unavoidable. We definitely have to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And that's where our leaders come in handy as well, because they often help us do that. Because suffering is another thing that the devil uses to draw people away. Because is it worth it? They think. It's easy to think that sometimes. But the truth is, the short-term suffering is nothing in comparison to the eternal glory. There's present suffering, but the future is glorious. So we've seen the bit that leadership matters. And we need to trust our leaders that God has entrusted us. But we also need to follow them. And we need to make their life, not burden them, sorry. Verse 17, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this, that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. Church is an amazing place, but the truth is, it's a place full of sinners run by sinners. Therefore, there's going to be mistakes. And our leaders aren't perfect, and I'm sure they'll tell you that as well. So there's things that they do that you might not agree with. And I think sometimes, and I'm trying as best to not step on too many toes here, sometimes I feel like there's things that we want to raise, to complain about, to our leaders. And I think sometimes, probably doesn't have to be said. There's a time where we don't have to press send on that email that we've composed. Or we don't have to bother our leader about this or that. And trust me, I'm talking to myself as much as anyone else here. Sometimes I do mention how the chairs are set up, but I shouldn't be burdening, we shouldn't be burdening our leaders with the trivial stuff. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't go to them, because they're there to help. But we should help them as much to keep their eyes on the main thing, which is helping us look to Jesus. So we need to keep on following our leaders. The third thing we need to keep on doing is we need to keep on going to Jesus. Keep going to Jesus. Hebrews finishes with this great prayer in verse 20 and 21. I'm going to read it. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. It's an amazing prayer, isn't it? It kind of could be a whole sermon in itself. But as that great shepherd of the sheep who died and rose again and calls us to live a certain way, well, this tells us that we don't have to live that life alone. We don't have to live that life alone. It talks about, equip you with everything good for doing his will. I have a little son, and for Christmas, he got a my first toy kit, like wooden hammer, a screwdriver that couldn't actually do anything, but he likes it. Well, it becomes a chew toy. So, but I'm a plumber and a gas engineer, so I fit boilers. So if I was to take Isaac's toolkit to work with me, and tomorrow, and I thought, I leave my kit in the bag and I bring Isaac's little wooden toy set. It's not going to do anything, is it? It's not going to help me. But God doesn't give us a little play toy kit. He gives us the whole toolbox. He fully equips us with everything we need to live his way, the way that he wants us to live. And we need to keep on going to him. See, we can't live a life that pleases him by ourselves. I think it's often tried. I think there's this nature to think we can do this, but we can't. We need Jesus. We need to keep on going to him. I mentioned at the start about looking through rose-tinted glasses. Well, I hope as we keep on doing these things, we don't look back, but we look forward. We keep on remembering that great shepherd of the sheep, that wonderful sacrifice his amazing death for sinners. And if you're here this evening and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, there is no other leader like Jesus. There is no other leader who lays down his life for his people. Let me pray. God, we thank you for the amazing leader that Jesus is. God, we pray that we would keep on going to him. But as he helps us live out the way, he helps us live the way that you've called us to live. Father, may we continue to remember his amazing sacrifice. And Father, we pray that you'd help our leaders. Father, we pray for Nathan, for Tim, for Jonathan, that you'd give them and our elders, Father. We pray that you'd help them continue to be godly men, to keep their eyes fixed on you. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.